I'm David.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to the Mastering Mondays podcast. Welcome to Mastering Mondays. Today we have Eldon with us. Eldon Chinyamakabvu is based in Chesterfield and his superpower is supporting SMEs in removing inefficiencies without additional software investment, all by leveraging Microsoft 365 and the Power Platform.
Currently, Eldon is the Digital Transformation Advisor at Auto Everything and has worked as a senior Power Platform consultant and architect in the past. It's great to have you with us on the show to share your insights and journey. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me on the show. And it's always a pleasure meeting like-minded people and sharing journeys and thinking, really. So excited to be here.
Tell us, how did you end up where you are now? Starting from the very beginning, how did you get involved in Microsoft and this mission to support SMEs in automating everything?
It's all pretty much a beautiful accident, is the way that I would put it. You know, typical kind of growing up really as a teenager, really into computers, but I didn't know what I wanted to do with computers. I just knew that I liked playing with computers, whether it be, just messing around with software or opening them up. And then, so this kind of openness created a bit of a problem for me where when it came to being the age of 18 and I have to decide at university what I want to kind of focus on and narrow down on, it was a bit of an issue because I just didn't know which one fit, whether it was business and IT or just IT by itself. But then that made me choose computer science, really. And computer science was the perfect kind of thing for me to do at Coventry University because it was the one that I felt taught me everything. It allowed me to become knowledgeable in everything and master literally nothing, which is exactly where I was anyway and exactly what I wanted to kind of get that value. So from then, did my fair years of education, as everybody normally does. So did the 3 years, and then I also went on placement year, just being in an IT support role. And I knew that IT support role really wasn't what I wanted to do because, you know, I wanted to work in IT where I was working on something that gave value to the business rather than something that supported the business. And I think for anyone trying to make a decision of where to do in career, you kind of have to decide between the two and make up your mind quite quickly, I guess. But you can always make a change. After doing the university, graduating, I then found a job in Chesterfield, which is where I reside. Hadn't heard of Chesterfield before and hadn't heard of the company that I joined, which was called Happy Wired. And I was the very first employee. And they just happened to do SharePoint and do automation at the same time. So this, when I joined in 2017, which feels like a lifetime away now, it was the transitioning of work going away from your traditional custom workflows. So, you know, your classic versions to Power Automate. Power Automate is becoming a thing. And with all the intranets I was making, I was super excited and super keen to really get involved in that side of it. So that's when I started doing a bit of automation. So, you know, simple things like sending a message out every time a news article is published, setting up approvals every time someone creates a new page in SharePoint and all that lovely stuff. So that really grew my curiosity. So I was a Happy Wired for 3 years, did 3 lovely years from there. And then I decided to move on to Capgemini Invent. So from Invent, that's when I started to creep into Power Apps and Power Automate and Power BI. So really looking at the full stack and understanding how you could bring kind of, that automation to companies and the benefits of it as well. But then it also allowed me to work on a larger scale. So working with much larger corporations where if you change one thing, that's equal to you saving 10 grand a day or even 100K a month. Like the change is that massive by you just doing one simple thing. So that was a lot of fun. And then since then, again, recently having left that career behind as well, I've just transitioned into trying to now bring automation to small to medium enterprises, really. And again, I think this is going back to my first job initially, which is, you know, I'm identifying that a lot of the small to medium companies just don't use this technology as much as they should. It's a bit of a void and it's either because they just don't know about it or, you know, it's just something they don't have time to explore. So I'm trying to bring my energy and passion and experience across to small, medium businesses.
That's a key theme, really, of what we're talking about here, about the you know, the SME or the SMB, if you're in America, business. And, you know, how, from my perspective, you know, there are huge opportunities here, probably bigger than for the big companies. But anyway, for just right now, could you tell us some more about the businesses that you work with, the types of business that you work with?
Yeah, absolutely. Type of business I've worked with, it's really strange because it's everyone and anyone. So I've worked with global retailers that, you know, some of most people's favorite brand. I know one of my personal favorite brand. I've worked with aviation. So I worked with airports as well. I've worked with other consultancies, which is a bit of a shock, you know, going to consulting for a consultancy. And then I've also worked with housing agencies as well, which has been a lot of fun. And then some of the science background. And one thing which this has all taught me is, you know, it's, you know, this technology, it's not just, oh, it's perfect for this industry. It can really be blended across because of the flexibility it offers. You're really able to will it to kind of your will, I guess, of what you want to do and what you want to achieve. You just have to put the dots together. So, yeah. And with all that experience in different environments, I just, yeah. Yeah, it just gives me an opportunity to see all the different opportunities, really, that are available.
Do you think that you've noticed any change in terms of the sectors that are interested in apps and automations? Do you feel it's becoming a kind of wider theme in terms of how people want to improve their businesses?
Yes, absolutely. I've noticed everyone, even from your one-man band to your 10,000 organization, they all know it's there, but they don't know how to get started. And I'd say one of the things that's really to kind of help accelerate this is, or two things actually, is the pandemic. The pandemic, people saw there was a lot of opportunity to innovate because for the first time ever, people had a lot more time on their hands and people were willing to share a lot more knowledge. So that brought that to the fold. The second thing as well is the growth of ChatGPT. I mean, even my mom knows about ChatGPT and she's by no means someone who's interested in computers whatsoever. It's just, it allowed people to see that there is a different way of working. There's a different way of doing things. And yeah, even though AI was the vehicle to populate everything, some people then started to dig down and find out kind of the journey of this, like how did we get to this point and some of the things that are available. So those are two factors that I think are really key to things that we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, in our last episode, we talked Shane Young from, you know, the massively popular Power Apps 911 YouTube channel about offloading administrative tasks to automations and AI in various settings like schools, you know, colleges and businesses. And, you know, that journey that you've kind of said there about, you've kind of talked about it in reverse, really, about how, you know, from as a professional where we've worked from developing Power Automate manual processes and say managing approvals, etc. And now we're kind of looking at AI and Copilot and seeing how those can be more central to decision making. In a sense, you know, from the consumer perspective, they're almost looking as if, hey, I've heard about this AI stuff, and then it's like, well, hey, there's all this automation stuff as well. You know,
yeah,
it's kind of backwards, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, and I think that's the conversation I always try to have with clients, to say, you've heard of AI, wonderful, but there's a lot more work that needs to go in before we get you to that point. And also, I'm a strong believer that AI is good, but if you do the groundwork that came before it first, there's then a massive benefit by the time you get to AI, where you can actually fully kind of take advantage of everything that's to come before. And it is exciting, I think, especially the stuff that you mentioned in terms of like public sector, in terms of like schools and everything. There's so much potential for them to be able to use all of this stuff for good and to educate the next up and coming peoples, really.
Do you think businesses really get it? So let me expand on that. So do you think they really understand the power of Microsoft products? So, you know, like Power Automate, Copilot, the entire suite, we're saying that they kind of, that knowledge became more widely available during the pandemic. But do they really understand that it can save them money? And if I give you an example, we recently worked with a school where they were spending thousands of pounds on a third party platform for booking in their parent guardian, you know, evenings. And in just 20 minutes of sat with them, we noticed, you know, you've got Microsoft bookings here. Let's kind of give that a go. And, you know, again, within the hour, had them set up and it was already outperforming. So do you think they generally understand that the full potential that they have with those Microsoft products?
No, I don't. I don't think they do, because if they did, they'll be out of a job. All jokes aside, aside from that. No, I think they don't. The issue is, in my opinion, is Microsoft offer so much good work. There's so much good work that comes out, but they just, the communication channel just seems to be a bit terrible. And what I mean by that is, you know, even for me as a professional who's always keeping an eye on these things, there'll be something new and wonderful that's come out, but you just don't see or even hear about it or even know about it until 2-3 months later you stumble across it and see it. So it becomes a lot difficult for people who, you know, got other jobs and, you know, finances to worry about and other things about running their businesses to really keep an eye on these things. So there is a massive gap in terms of understanding it. And I think the scenario that you brought up is one which I'm very familiar with as well, especially in my experience. You have moments where people are busy buying and purchasing other software instead of taking advantage of what they have. So I think for me, especially, you know, running my own ship and being a consultant, is what I'm trying to do is to have that education piece first, to really talk to them and say, well, this is what's on offer. This is how we can help you to get to the next level in order for you to kind of take care of the issue that you're having. And you find that by the time you finish with that conversation, there's a massive, you know, kind of light bulb moment where they're like, oh yeah, there's, you know, Dave from accounts. He can use this to do this instead of, you know, this expensive software that we're buying. And also I think the culture of the UK especially is, you know, if something's missing in your life, you don't create your own thing. You just go and buy another thing. So that's then translated across into business as well. It's no different. But we just have to try and get the word out by, you know, platforms like this to get people to really focus on what they have rather than looking outside.
I think your point about Microsoft is very valid in that, there's a lot of products there. They focus very much on the larger enterprise. They don't really give any particular focus on the smaller business. And so, yeah, to discover these things takes time. And, you know, your SMB is populated with people who are multitasking, who are like crazy. And you know, it's very difficult for them to pick this stuff up unless they have some element of guidance. In many respects, it strikes me that, you know, a typical small business can kind of go in two directions. Either they simply don't have the skills to make the most of it and they just plow on for as long as they possibly can in the way that they are, or they actually have to reskill to drive the business functions that used to be the main drag on their efficiency, to use, you know, the AI tools and the automations that are there now. You know, I hope you're right in terms of it, you know, continuing to give us a job though, because, you know, Shane accused me last week of crying in a corner because I was concerned that my role as data analyst was clearly going to disappear, you know, with the much more capable AI models that are just around the corner. I'm not a data analyst, by the way, but, you know, he liked the idea of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, this obviously with the rise of AI, this has become a massive topic conversation. Wherever you look, someone's either saying you're going to lose your job or someone's saying, no, you're not. But, you know, the way I like to look at it is, you know, what was the reaction of mathematicians when the calculator came out? And, you know, it's kind of the same philosophy that we have to have. It's just like, this is a tool that's here to help us. And also, I think AI really cannot completely take over, because a lot of the times, how many times actually have you seen where someone has the exact tools that they need to do a job in the house, but they just don't get around to it? They just, for whatever reason, they don't pick it up. And this is where, you know, there's room for consultants and people like us to step in to really empower the people so that way they can then take themselves to the next level. I know in my experience, this is something which I like doing all the time is if, for example, if a business can't afford my services, what I'll often said is training by doing things like boot camps. So boot camps are amazing because it's, you know, we'll bring up a fun scenario and say, oh, for example, once I've done in Power Apps, let's create an app about sustainability. And, you know, you get to select what you've done in the day and then calculate a sustainability score by the end of it. So taking someone through that journey of building that app and empowering them And even sometimes showing them how they can build the app in 2 seconds using AI is a really good way to show value as a consultant in this dynamic world, because you're empowering those people to then think of ideas. And then they'll get to a point where AI push as much as they can. And then they'll be asking you to say, oh, you know, we've got to this level. Now we want to try and do this massive grand idea. How can we get there? And then they'll be like, David, you know, we need to turn to your expertise to now take us to that next level. So it, for me, I feel with this technology, especially with my specialty automation, it's hand in hand working with the people. Because if you work against the people, I 100% promise you that project will fail because you haven't put the people at the heart of it. You know, and I see this in the industry a lot, especially with power apps, where someone creates a beautiful, beautiful power app with all the wheels and bezels, and you know, and they're asking, why isn't it working? That's because they haven't involved the people, and the user experience journey just doesn't match what the people are after, and it just fails. So there's definitely still space for people.
Can I just rewind slightly to your background? So, you know, you've obviously worked in with bigger enterprises. And with regards to that, you know, the difference between a bigger enterprise and a smaller enterprise and the relative skills between each of them. So big enterprises, you've got a lot of people who are quite highly skilled, who you know, technically skilled, who can build this stuff in-house and can really dedicate some time to it. You've got your small business and those people don't exist. There may be the capability, but they simply don't have the time. Do you feel that with the smaller business, where you've got, you know, this move to almost completely to kind of declarative programming, where you say, hey, do this thing, and it does it because you're talking to Copilot, whatever, and it's building it for you. Do you feel that actually the benefits for a small business almost vastly outweigh those for a big business, because a small business doesn't carry those core functions? You know, big business, they've got all these departments, they've got all these people already, they have to do something with them. With a small business where it's very, very focused on delivering, you know, the business objective, potentially you could really generate some of the similar efficiencies you get with a large business, because you're handing over all of those kind of core functions, you know, the finance, the sales process, elements of HR, to high-performing AI and automations.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree. I think this software and this, you know, change that we've had is definitely aimed at the small to medium enterprises 100%, in order for them to have the competitive advantage and, you know, to have the same output as some of these enterprises. And it makes a lot of sense, really, when you think about it, is because I think, as you mentioned previously, you know, someone in a small business, you're doing 4 jobs all in one go, because that's just the nature of the beast. You don't have time to just say, oh, I'm just the accounts guy, and then that's it. You're probably the accounts guy and then something else on top of that as well. So being able to use this technology where quickly you can identify that there's a need in the business and coming up with something quite quickly is just a massive saver, really, because it means a business is able to quickly turn around what they're trying to do in a short amount of time. And a lot of the times, especially with SMEs that want to grow, that I focus on, is they want to do it quickly, and they have a destination. They want to get there as fast as possible. And with this technology, being able to just say AI, especially with the Power Automate side of it, to say, you know, every time an email comes in, I just want to be able to save the file in a folder so my accounts team can review. And having that done in 30 minutes is incredible, because it means as our business is scaling, we're scaling with it, and nothing is ever left behind, and we're continuously performing at a higher level than we were previously. And for smaller businesses, this will mean massive difference, because for them, increasing their profits by 10%, as some of this stuff will do, is a massive difference. It means, you know, employing 2 or 3 more people that they can do other things. It means more time with them, spending them with their clients, and, you know, getting more revenue in and just a lot more growth. So it's definitely targeted more towards the small to medium enterprises, and they just need to start using it.
Do you think that in terms of the role of the SME director, is therefore going to change? Because, you know, historically, you know, it would be very much that they would expect, they would know their staff would brief them, that's how they would control their business. You know, now their business has a very different element to it, and the traditional role of the SME director kind of feels will feel quite different maybe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the, you know, being a director of an SME is now going to become just a matter of understanding how you can empower your people rather than just running the business. Because it's even trends in just the way people are working as well, is people want to feel listened to. They want to feel not overwhelmed. It's no longer acceptable anymore where you can think you can, you know, employ, let's say, Jane from, you know, from your local area, and she'll stay there for 20, 25 years at a job. It's that's different. So that means as a leader yourself, you need to find ways of making sure that person's continuously engaged and feels like their skills are valued, and also that they're learning new things. And now with the exposure of, you know, things like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, if someone from, you know, a corporation, let's say Microsoft, is showing off something cool that they're doing, you have to be a director who's open-minded enough to kind of hear your employees sharing these stories and say, how can we bring that to our business to make sure that we engage our staff and also grow our business as well. So yeah, it is changing. You can't just have a rigid mind to say, as a director, you know, we've always done it this way, so we have to stick to it. So you have to have a lot of flexibility, and also just a lot of patience to try something new. And you know, if you bring something to me, David, I'll say, well, that automation didn't quite work how we expected it to, but we'll try another thing or we'll make a tweak here. So that's how the changes are coming.
I guess financially, just going back to kind of the difference for a large business and a smaller business with you know, AI and automation, in my mind, I guess financially for a larger business, like you said towards the start, one automation can make a huge financial difference. So perhaps the benefits are more financial at the start of the journey for a larger company, but for a smaller company, it's more hands, it's more capability to build that brand, to build that company, which of course then leads to more income. So you know, there's advantages for both, but absolutely at the start of a journey for an SME, it's really helping you kind of get in those early days. You know, we talked earlier before we started the podcast about, you know, not having enough kind of hands or enough time in the day. That can all help with that, can't it?
Yeah, it can. I mean, you know, not to kind of shame anyone or anyone's way of doing things, operations, but for me, I have seen some really scary things, and it's scary because I guess I have the expertise to know better. So I guess that's the thing. But you see, some SMEs will have four accountants working on one Excel spreadsheet, and they're all updating the same thing, and they're all making errors, they're all making mistakes. But really, if they just sat back and got someone working on the automation of that, it means that no one could be working that spreadsheet. And, you know, they could be focusing on other things that really bring value to the business. You know, the perfect areas really to look at is, you know, let's say, I think I did a post on this on LinkedIn, and I gave an example of a salesperson. So a salesperson having to do, you know, expense report, data entry, you know, dedicate a whole day, one day to it. So let's say four people are doing that, right? That's across, you know, across a month, that's, yeah, 4 days that you've lost. And then across the year, how many days is that you've lost? It's so much. And if you look at the finance behind it, is if you took that away from those business generating people and you got them focusing on just talking to clients, they'll bring in more money and they won't have to do the admin side of it because you've automated it. And that really starts to make a value, because I think in my scenario, I looked at it and it was like a 93% saving that they'll be doing. And then also that wasn't even encountering the amount of sales that they'll be generating more because they're spending time on that. And I feel small to medium businesses, if they really want to grow, they need to find ways of getting the people to focus on, you know, strategic thinking, customer facing, because that's where it's at the moment. I mean, how many times have you heard people saying, oh, I no longer go to that business, and you ask them why? Or the customer service was just shocking and I'm never doing that again. And sometimes it's because people are just overwhelmed, you know, overwhelmed with admin work, and they just want to be freed and do other things and concentrate on the customers.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, I run a small business, and I recognize that, and I recognize from other people that I meet with. And you know, that, you know, what's commonly misunderstood is that, you know, it's also about your, you know, your focus and your passion, and you know, your focus and your passion is actually on your customers and is on your product and is on your business. But there's so much noise that can take your eye off the ball with regards to that. And yes, this is an opportunity to remove some of that noise and really keep your focus on the things that matter.
Yeah, and what's wonderful is, David, if you have Office 365, obviously, it's all for free. You know, you can push it as free for free as much as you possibly can. So for me, it just makes sense. And I think for any business leaders that are listening, my question is to them is, when you started your business, it wasn't your dream to be working on an Excel spreadsheet every day. That's not what you started it for. So, you know, the same should apply for your employees. They didn't join your business to say, oh, yay, I get to do another Excel spreadsheet. You know, they probably joined for other reasons and other passions. So get them focusing on that. So that way they can help your business to grow via passion and, you know, via doing things that are meaningful and valuable.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. Absolutely. Let's talk about trends. So, you know, we're talking about AI, but we'd like to ask all our guests, what trends are you seeing in the industry? What are businesses or education providers reaching out to you for the most? You know, is it Power Automate? Is it Power Apps? You know, what is it?
No, I think that's a really good question, Matt. And it's a mixture of things. But what I'm noticing is it's no longer people just want the one thing. But having conversations, what I normally like to do, I just normally like to ask questions, questions that are more less about the technology, more about, you know, driven towards kind of the emotion and the feeling and the outcome that people want. And what you tend to hear is, you know, oh, we're just spending so much time on this, you know, or, you know, whenever we're working, you know, it's just, we have a lot of people on the field and we try to look at the data and it's just unusable and we can't look at it properly. So what ends up happening is you end up having, you know, a triangle effect is what I like to call it, which is obviously your data collection, your data automation and processing, and then after that, your data visualization. So now people are realizing it's no longer enough to just have the one. You need to have all three in order for you to really excel your business and move to the next step forward. So that's what I'm noticing as a trend personally is that, and something which I'm trying to push to potential clients as well is to say, having one thing is not enough. We kind of need to create a well-rounded solution. And that's where the conversations really move towards. It's no longer, I just need this product. It's more, I need this solution that does this for me and my entire business. And so that's some of the interesting trends that I'm finding.
Okay, so I've got a question for you here, Eldon. Could tell me the favorite project that you've worked on, the one that, you know, that where the end result was the one that made it stand out and you thought, you know, this has made a real difference here.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wow. That's there's so many happy faces I've given in my life experience. So I think first, before I answer that, I just want to say for me, the thing that drives me, especially in this industry, is A, first, because I'm a bit of a nerd for all of this stuff, and that's fine. But it's also just the moment where you complete something for a client and they're just like, oh my days, that has made such a difference for me. And it's just transformed how we were working. And one of the projects which I'm going to bring up is I worked for, in my previous jobs, worked with an aviation company. And what they were doing, they were heavy into using Power Platform. They were really massive into it. And, you know, I came in to do the security and governance side of it as well. So to help them kind of find ways of tidying up everything and just making sure that the journey of makers became easy. And why that was interesting is because, you know, there was just a lack of knowledge of understanding ways of improving security and governance in Power Platform. And, you know, since they were heavy users, they were already convinced and in love with the program, but they just wanted it to be a lot more secure. The fun thing with that is the resistance that you get. For me, I love it because I'm just like, I'm going to change you guys to be believers and to actually get on board with this. And also it's an opportunity for me to really get to know people because everyone always has a good reason why you shouldn't do something. And everybody, another one of my favorite tropes as well, especially in consulting, is, you know, we've always done it this way and we don't need to change it. And I'm like, no, you've done it this way and it worked for a while, but now it's time for things to change. So what I found in that project is we were able to listen to people, what people wanted, but then also find a middle ground where we could have really strict compliance and allow for them to continue to develop the stuff that they were developing and for them to understand kind of the movement. And this was the time when the pipeline came out, so the ALM pipeline in Power Platform. So people really appreciated the fact that they had three different environments and they were able to really, you know, develop in piece and then also test in piece and then finally bring out products in production in piece as well. So it's a project like that, that, you know, where you have a business that's quite mature in the way that they're using Power Platform, and then they still have room for improvement and they still continue to thrive to be even better. And you leave them at a better place where you see the massive difference. So example of differences that we saw, we got rid of over 800 apps that were just not used for whatever reason. We completely streamlined how they were working. The business then had more visibility of, you know, what people were making. But then also on top of that is the makers were actually rewarded, because there was now, you know, no more noise. And if you made something that was amazing, you actually got recognized for it, because it moved from, you know, personal productivity environment to then into production. And then you saw the numbers go up to say, oh, wow, you know, now 10,000 people are using my app and they're all reviewing the app and saying it's amazing. And I'm actually being recognized for it. So that's one of my favorite projects where I brought people and technology together.
I feel like you've given us a lot of tips already, or given businesses and education providers a lot of tips already. But if you could narrow it down to just one tip to businesses and education providers, what would that be?
I think let people innovate. Give time for people to innovate is my biggest thing. One thing which massive companies are better at than small to medium enterprises at is they're better at saying, well, you know, Matt, it's okay for you to take a week and just learn something different and innovate, walk away from your job. I mean, you know, a week might be extreme for SME, but what you could do, I don't know, let's say Friday afternoons or even Friday, the whole Friday, turn that into innovation. Just say, you know, walk away from your day to day, find a different way of doing what you're doing. That's what I would advise. Because what you find is people will come up with so many wacky ideas that some of them might not work, but that they might come up with just that one idea that will completely transform your business. And if you're a business leader or business director, it will only make you look good. You know, where you can say, well, you know, we gave Matt a whole, you know, a week for the last 3 months to go out and innovate, and this is what he came up with. He came up with an app or came up with an automation, and now, you know, we're earning XYZ from it. So that would be my one tip, really. To
I think a week, a day, or an afternoon, whichever it is, I mean, it could potentially change your business.
Absolutely.
Eldon, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really interesting to hear about your journey, particularly in supporting businesses with automation. You've been brilliant. Again, thank you for joining us on this episode of Mastering Mondays.
No, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me both. Really appreciate it.
Coming up on the next episode of Mastering Mondays.
When all the tools of Microsoft comes together, it makes life so much easier.
I think that's probably my favorite story I've heard on the podcast so far. I really love that idea.